Lord, everybody. This Sunday morning, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Thomas has been talking about it, and I can't get out of Psalms. I'm going to read Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. You know, he's made everything. Amen. He's made the sun and the moon and the stars. Calls them by their name. Amen. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens. He made the heavens. Amen. And ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. Amen. He has made a decree which shall not pass. And I love Brother Swaggart's notes. I'm going to read them for this verse. This present earth little recognizes such. Instead, school children are taught the mindless drivel of evolution as the origin of all things. To the contrary, on the coming kingdom day, the entirety of the world will know and understand who God is, what he has done, and his greatness. Amen. He's made the heavens, he's made the earth, and he's made the sun, and the moon, and all the global warming garbage, and all the climate change hoax, and the climate's always changed since the beginning of time. And if it goes up by 2 degrees in 100 years, it's not going to matter. It's really not going to matter. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars like that, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. And I'm going to read his notes right here one more time. Then, and we speak of the coming kingdom age, all creation will function exactly as God originally intended. You know, there will be no ticks, mosquitoes, and yellow jackets, right, Luke? And animals won't eat each other. You know, we came this morning in the back roads, and there's a possum and 12 buzzards eating a possum. But we won't see that in the coming kingdom age. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heavens. He also exalts the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Last thing I'm going to say, we need to pray for Israel. Amen. All the mindless, stupid colleges and universities. And, you know, we are a God-hating, Israel-hating, especially God-hating nation. Amen. We need to pray for Israel, and we see it all coming to pass. We see it very easily, what's going to happen when the church is taken away and how Israel is going to be attacked, but they're going to find their Savior. Amen. They're not going to be destroyed because Jesus Christ is coming back to save them. Amen. To save all of us. In Jesus' name I pray, God, thank you, God, for this service this morning. God, thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this Psalm 148 that I have read, Lord God. We thank you, God, that we can praise you, Lord Jesus. No matter what's going on in our life, we can praise you. We can praise you on the mountaintops. We can praise you in the valleys. We can praise you when we're feeling low or feeling bad, or when we're feeling good, or when we're healthy, or when we're sick, or when we're fat, or when we're skinny, or when we feel like we're smart or dumb or whatever's going on in our life, Lord Jesus. We can praise you through it all, Lord God. Through it all, you have brought us through, and we want to praise you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Became Jesus Messiah. Joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Amen. The scripture says the joy of the Lord is your what? The joy of Jesus. If you ever lose that, you'll lose everything. If you ever lose that relationship with Jesus, if you don't understand what this is all about, that this is about your relationship with Him, and you get your eyes off of that and onto other things, you'll begin to lose everything little by little. The joy goes out the door. And then it's just pain and it's misery and it's, I don't want to do this and I don't like that and I don't think they ought to dress like that and I don't believe this. And you just start going every which way but the right way. The joy of the Lord keeps you strong, keeps you on track, amen. Plant your feet on solid ground, amen. The joy of the Lord is falling fresh on me. Is it falling fresh on you? You know, you're the one that's got to stir it up. You want it to fall, you're going to have to praise. You want it to fall, you're going to have to say, thank you, Jesus. If you want to fall, you're going to have to learn when you're driving down the road on your way to work and you ain't feeling so hot, say, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for a touch today, amen. In the name of Jesus, I need some joy today. I need some strength today. When my boss is mad at me, my family's mad at me, my coworkers are mad at me, the devil's mad at me, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I'm tired, but I feel the joy of the Lord strengthening me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Adam started off with those psalms. That's what they're for. Praise the Lord. Amen. All the creation, the scripture says those trees out there are clapping. They're praising God. Little birds are. And we come in here and we, I wonder what's going to happen today. You know so-and-so ain't here. You know that this and this. You see, we got to get away from all this other stuff and say, Lord, I come here today to meet with you. I need a touch. There's things in my life. There's things in my mind. There's things, Lord, that I just don't even want in my life, in my heart, in my mind. And I'm asking you to help me to clear it all out today, Lord. And walk out of this place today different than when I came in. Amen. So I can come back tonight happy. I can come back this evening praising God. Amen. I can come back with a shout. I can come. You don't have to lose what the Lord gives you. Let me tell you, if you lose what the Lord gives you from Sunday morning to Monday morning, there's something wrong. And it ain't with God. You can keep what the Lord gives you. You don't let the devil have it. That's what you got to do. You got to put your foot down and don't let him have it. Amen. The church is, we got it one day. We lose it the next day. We got it one day. That ain't how God designed this. God designed for you to keep your victory 24/7. He didn't say enemies wouldn't come. They will come. But he said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Because he's in control. Let's take up the offering this morning. I'll just save the preaching for the preaching. Amen. Good to be here. Good to see everybody today. Those watching through the internet. Boy, it's kind of quiet in here this morning, Miss Grace. I don't know about this mood. I'm trying to figure it out. There's something, must be something good about to happen. Usually when it's like that, there's something about to break through. Somebody's about to get a breakthrough. Amen. Just break on through today. Amen. Just let go and let the Holy Ghost have his way. In your heart and in your life. Let him have his way in your billfold. Let him have his way in your giving today. Amen. Has God blessed you this week? Did you get a paycheck this week? Did you get a paycheck this month or last week? Well, it's time to give some back to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray over the offering. If you need a touch this morning, you're more than welcome to come up to the front. If you need prayer, if you want to take a minute to seek the Lord about anything, This altar's here, that's what they're for people to come to seek the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for your power today. I thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, God. And we ask that you would have your way in this place today. Lord, I pray against every spirit of oppression, every spirit of depression, every demon spirit, every religious spirit, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over it by the power of God, Lord. And we tell the devil he's a liar and he's a loser. And we are victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, have your way today. Bless this offering today. Bless those who give. Meet every single need that they have. Give it back to them in ways they could not imagine. In Jesus' name.
Looking for me. and thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. And hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. Well, I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I traveled, oh, down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus.
The blind man that God
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Are you hiding or are you waiting on a visitation? Are you hiding this morning? Are you hiding things in your heart from him? He's saying, bring it to me. Let me come walking through that garden and let me fellowship with you. Don't hide from me. Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Just thinking as the praise and worship was going on, aren't you glad that you're in a church? You know, I was watching hands go up, watching Brian cut loose back there, watching people. Aren't you glad that you're in a church where you can just let loose and you don't have to be afraid and you don't have to worry about what anybody thinks? I've been to some of them churches. Have you ever been to one where you can feel the tension, you can feel the don't you move? I'm glad today I'm in a church, brother, where I don't have to be afraid to just turn loose and let the Holy Ghost have his way. Praise the Lord. Don't be hiding from the Lord today, amen. That's a good word. Don't be hiding from the Lord because he's looking for you. I promise you, he knows how to find you too. He knows right where you are. Physically, spiritually, geographically, he knows right where we are. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I love it when the Lord starts moving like this. Because people, we got problems at times. A lot of stuff going on, and we just need sometimes a good old touch from the Lord. Amen. Kind of ease everything. It don't mean everything goes away, but it sure helps us. Amen. When he touches us to be able to walk out the door knowing that we've been relieved of some stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning,
I want you to go in your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. I was seeking the Lord this week trying to find out about where to go. I had some things on my mind. This kind of came to me. And so I'm going to just go with it. 1 Kings chapter 20. Verse 13 is where we're going to start reading it. It says, "And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand this day, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, You. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all of the people of the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings who helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city and the army which followed them. And they killed every one his man. And the Syrians fled. And Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with his horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter." I want to stop there and let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that we feel this morning, for your love, for your mercy, Lord, and for when we need a touch, God, you know how to touch us. Lord, you know what we need. You know the spiritual needs that we have more than anything. And Lord, I thank you this morning that you're meeting with us, you're touching us, and I pray that we would be able to hear your word today, to know that, Lord, that if you are for us, nobody can be against us. No one can overcome us. No one can overcome Israel. No one can overcome Jerusalem. No one can overcome your children, Lord, that you have ordained to life and to power and to victory. So I thank you this morning. I ask you to bless your word this morning, that you would anoint it. Help me, Lord, touch me physically, spiritually, every way possible, to open your word, to make it real to the people today, to those watching through the internet, whoever they are and wherever they are. I pray that you touch them, speak to them, and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible tells us that there was a king of Syria. His name was Ben-Hadad. And I was trying to go back and read some of the history this morning, but you have to go so far back and read so much, you just can't. It's hard to put it all together in a quick amount of time when you go reading the Bible. You have to slow down reading the Bible when you're studying stuff. But it seems that King Asa, who was a king that God had used, that the Bible said he feared God and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord during his time and his reign, made an affinity or an alliance, I guess, so to speak, with this king, Ben-Hadad, and it doesn't seem that he should have done it. You know, there are times that kings, they did things they shouldn't have done. Presidents, you know, at times they do things they shouldn't do. And they make alliances with people that they shouldn't make alliances with. They accept things that they should not accept. But, you know, even then, God is still in control. And you're going to see in this story here that no matter how messed up sometimes people can get, no matter even how messed up the government of the United States of America is, and it is, God can still do things. God can still move. God can still, I don't know if I want to say manipulate, but push people. He can guide people into a direction which is good for the people, good for the nation. And we all see what's going on with Israel right now. And you see what the devil is trying to do. And I think this story lines up perfectly with even with what's going on in our day and time in regards to Israel. But I don't want to make this just about Israel. It is, but you need to make it about you this morning too. Because we are a spiritual Israel. In other words, the promises God gave to them in the spiritual realm, many of those promises, they apply to us here today. And this King Ben-Hadad of Syria said that he gathered all of his hosts together. He had 32 other kings that it seemed that he had brought in submission to him by destroying possibly maybe their territories. They surrendered and submitted to him, so they make an alliance, so to speak, I guess if you want to use that term. They really didn't have much of a choice because he was a wicked king, and all he cared about was money, power, fame, territory, land, position. Come on, y'all. Authority and power, just like most of your world dictators. Look at Hitler. What was he about? Power, control, manipulation, because he thought that he really believed he could take over the whole world. But look where he is today, burning in an eternal hell. Because his attack was not against the Jews, his attack was against God. And I want to tell you, anytime you attack God's people, you're messing with God. And people better hear that right now. These idiots, supposedly protesting, they're not protesting. They're being used of the devil. And many of them, I don't believe that they're just doing what they're doing. I believe a lot of your left-wing, hardcore, Democrat, Islam-loving leaders and haters of this nation have paid many of these people. They've sent these people into these campuses to do this because it's election time. Remember what happened the last time? The devil knows what he's doing. But even with the mess that is going on, God wants to show that he is still in control and he can still work things to our favor. These kings with this King Ben-Hadad, Bible said that they besieged Samaria. Besieged it, took it over. And they began to make the statement that they're going to take control. Just like the devil. Ain't that less, just like the devil? He wants your territory. He wants your soul. He wants your victory. He wants the land that God has promised to you, flowing with milk and honey that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. He wants your land. And he's got every demon, every principality, every power. He's got all the whores of hell working with him to come to try to take from you what Jesus Christ has given you. But you don't have to let the devil have his way today. You don't have to move one foot off of any of the territory that Jesus died to give you, because you are founded on the solid rock, praise. praise God, and you don't have to move to the right. You don't have to move. You can stand and say, you ain't taking my land. You ain't taking my family. You ain't taking my nation. You ain't taking my church. You ain't taking my children. You ain't taking the backsliders. You ain't taking my family members. Devil, come on, because I ain't afraid of you, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I got a power, wonder walking power, greater than you, devil. 32 kings with him and their armies, what's left of them. We're going to take this land. We're going to wipe them. Not only are we going to take it, we're going to go in, and we're going to take them. We're going to take their families, take their children. We're going to take their money, their silver, their gold. America. Are you getting it? That's what the devil has said about this nation. He wants you. He wants your families. Wants your children, your husbands, your wives, your silver, your gold, your economy. He wants it all. Sad to say, he's having his way with too many. They besiege Samaria and they begin to war against it. Now, Ahab was the king. We all know who Ahab is, don't we? We remember Jezebel's husband. We know Ahab, the man whose wife helped to institute Baal worship, control and manipulate and kill God's prophets and get rid of the voices of God to promote her own agenda. And this is Ahab, who was married to Jezebel, who was the king of Israel at the time. And he was not in a good spiritual condition. As a matter of fact, if you go back just a couple of chapters before all of this, God had already shown his power to Israel. God had already shown his power to Ahab and Jezebel by sending a man by the name of Elijah, a prophet of God, that says, I don't care about money, I don't care about fortune, I don't care about fame, I don't care about false religion, I don't care what the devil thinks, I'm on a mission from God. And we're going to see God move one more time in Israel. I know it's dry. I know there's no rain. I know you're losing your crops. I know you're losing your money. I know there's a famine sweeping across your nation. But I got a feeling that God one more time wants to demonstrate his power. He wants to raise up somebody that ain't afraid of the government, ain't afraid of Ahab, ain't afraid of Jezebel, ain't afraid of false religion, ain't afraid of the Baptist, ain't afraid of the Methodist, ain't afraid of the United Pentecostals, but somebody that knows the power of God, and that man is Elijah. We need Elijah on the scene today. We need somebody that's got a word from God that knows what they're talking about, not some fly-by-night false prophet, but when he says God is going to do something, praise God, God is going to do it. And God already demonstrated his power by sending Elijah to confront Ahab, his wife, and the false religion of the day. We all know the story, preached it many times here. You've heard it. And God confronted them and he sent Elijah. Elijah offered the sacrifice. But before he did, after the Baal worshipers were finished figuring out that there's no answer from Baal, there's no answer from Muhammad. You'll find no answer in the Quran. You'll find no answer in Mormonism. You'll find no answer in the Jehovah's Witnesses. But you'll find your answer in the Bible. You'll find your answer in Jesus Christ. And when they were finished calling on Baal, there was no answer. The blood's gushing out. They made fools out of themselves from morning to evening. Elijah said, now get out of the way. We're going to find out whose God is real today. We're going to see whose God is real today. Move on over, false prophets. Move on over, you fly-by-night prophets. Move on over. Think you got something. You ain't got anything. Let's see today whose God is real. And he said he took the sacrifice, but he instituted it the right way, and he had faith. And he said he began to call on the Lord. He began to pray to God. Oh, God, Lord, let these people know today that you are the God that answers by fire. Oh, God, turn the heart of this people back to you. Oh God, let your power come down. Oh Lord, let it rain across America one more time. Oh God, let the power of the Holy Ghost hit Family Worship Center. Let the fire fall down so nobody can see nothing but Jesus. So we see nothing but the blood. So we need to see nothing but Jesus high lifted up. And that's exactly what happened. And after he finished praying, the fire of heaven from God came down, hit that place, shook that place, fired that place up, consumed that sacrifice, licked up the water in the trenches, consumed every bit of it. And all of a sudden, people start falling on their faces. You see, when the Spirit gets to moving, just like we had just a while ago, when the Spirit gets to moving, look out. When the Holy Ghost gets to moving, look out. God wants to do something. If you just learn how to fall on your face sometimes, you just learn how to get on your knees, if you just learn how to say, oh, Jesus, have your way in my life, and they begin to fall on their faces, and they said, oh, Lord, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Baal ain't God. Buddha ain't God. Muhammad ain't God. The denomination ain't God. The church of God ain't God. The assemblies of God ain't God. But God is God. The Lord, he is God. He's the God of his son, Jesus. He's a God that brought us out. Oh, come on. He's a God that gave his son. He's a God that will cause you to shout. That fire and all that was a demonstration of what would happen to Jesus Christ on the cross. He was smitten, afflicted of God, the Bible says, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That was a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. And everybody better kick on soon, because I turned it on, because I'm starting to sweat. If it don't in 5 minutes, I'm going to walk right over that thermostat and I'm turning the air down. Y'all going to have to put your clothes on. I'm going to take my vest off one. Somebody said, take your vest off. I know. Look, so these kings, they invade this territory. They besieged it. Now, they send messengers in to Ahab. Remember, Ahab is, he's the king of Israel, but he is far from God. You could say that about our current president. He might be the president, but he is far from God. He is far from God. And Ahab, he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city. And he said to him, thus says Ben-Hadad. Here's what the message was to Ahab. He said, your silver and your gold is mine. What you got is mine. And your children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel, now listen to this, the king of Israel answered, said, my lord, O king, according to your saying, I am yours and all that I have. Stop for a second. I mean, the devil intimidates you. You go through a problem. You have, you know, things don't look good. And here comes the enemy and says, this is mine and that's mine. I'm taking your joy. I'm taking your peace. I'm taking your family. I'm taking your church. I'm taking your victory. And I'm going to get it. And here we go. Okay, here, just take it. Because we're fearful. Because we forgot who God is. Because we forgot the power of God. Ahab already saw the power of God. He saw it through Elijah. And we see God move and we forget. And here comes the devil, like last Sunday after church, Sunday morning, he comes and hits you. After you have a good service, the Spirit of God moves on your heart, moves on your life, and we let him take. We just give it to him. Because we don't really care for war. I got news for you, Christian. There's going to be some spiritual warfare going on in your family, in your house, and in your heart if you're going to live for Jesus. There's going to be a battle at times. Satan is coming to try to take what you have. But you don't have to give it to him. You do not have to let him have it. And he said, you can have, basically he said, you can have it. What's wrong with us? No, you can't have it. Jesus gave it to me. No, you can't have it. God gave it to me. No, you can't have my salvation. I'm washed in the blood. You can't have my victory over sin. Jesus paid for it. And we give it to him, but they said the messengers came again. They came again back to Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sinned unto you, saying, you shall deliver me your silver and your gold and your wives and your children. He said, yet I will send my servants unto you tomorrow. He sent another message, said, I'm going to send my servants tomorrow, and they shall search your house and the houses of your servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in your eyes, everything you have that you like, that you care about, and whatsoever, and that they shall put in their hand and take it away. Okay, so he said, not only am I going to take you or your families, your children, and your wives, but we're going to come into your house. I'm going to send my servants. They're going to walk right up into your property, into your house, and they're going to take everything pleasant in your eyes. That was the message to Israel, to Ahab, the second time. But see, something changed a little bit in the next verse. The Bible said the king of Israel called all the elders of the land. That was a good move. Called together the elders of the land. He needed to hear from somebody else. Called all together the elders of the land, and he said, mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeks mischief. He explains to them what the king has said. And he says, you know, look, they sent us a message the first time, and they threatened to take our stuff, and I made an agreement to let them have some stuff. You see, if you let the devil have this much, you hear me? I said, if you let him have this much of your victory, he's going to get this much. He's looking for an opening for you to compromise. He wants you to give in. He ain't satisfied with just having a little bit of you. He wants everything he can get. He wants your family again. He wants your soul. He wants your job. He wants your spouse. He wants your children. He wants your finances. He wants it all. And he consults with the elders. And he told him, he said, he sent unto me for my wives. He'd probably been wise to give them all them. Probably wasn't making a mistake by giving them all the wives, because you don't need more than one anyway. And for my children, and for the silver and my gold, he said, I denied him not. He told them, look, I told him he can have my wives. And what do you mean you can have our children? You can have my, no, you can't have my children, devil. Come on, parents. No, you can't, devil. No, you're not. You're going to have a war on your hands. You can't have my children. I saw a documentary last week on TV. It was kind of interesting. It was what was it, Niagara Falls, New York, sometime in the 1970s, where they had a subdivision that had been tainted with pollution from, I don't know, for some factory, some giant corporation down through the years, and there were 400 or 500 families lived in that subdivision. And the Bible said over, you know, some years, some of the kids started getting sick. And some of the families and the men, and they started, you know, getting sick of stuff, and they thought something was wrong, and they began to investigate. Well, you know who took the lead on the investigating? The mamas. The mothers. Because they said, one thing you don't want to mess with is a mama's baby. You don't want to mess with mama's children. Come on, someone. I'm glad, boy, I can remember my little mama, Miss Grace, too many times. Ah, devil! I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You ain't taking my kids. You ain't taking my family. You ain't having, I remember my little mama. Devil, in the name. I mean, she gonna speaking in other tongues. Boy, you can feel the Holy Ghost moving. Little mamas, come on, mama, where y'all at? Stand up for your children. Stand in the gap, plead the blood over them, take authority over that devil and say, you will not have my children. And because of those mothers who began to protest and organize meetings, they had city officials come out. Those city officials, boy, they looked troubled. The pressure was on them from them mamas. You could tell, buddy, they were worn out. Their mothers were wearing them out. Until they finally forced them long enough that they ended up paying them to be able to leave their homes and find other homes and get out of that subdivision. You know what? You ought to be putting the heat on the devil and make him get out. Come on, somebody. I said you ought to be putting the heat on the devil so he gets out. I'm telling you, if he sees enough Jesus in you, he gonna hit the door. If he sees the power of God in your life, he ain't gonna want to hang around too long where the power of God is. We need to learn how to put our foot down and say, no, you ain't taking anything I have. You ain't having my gospel music. You ain't having my church. You ain't having my praise. You ain't having my family. You ain't getting my money. You ain't taking my job, because Jesus gave me everything I have, and I'm going to stand fast in Him. Listen to this. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, and don't you consent. See, sometimes you need to hear it from somebody else. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to his lies. God gave us our land. God gave us our salvation. Jesus gave us our victory. No, devil, you can't have it. You can't have it. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. No, I ain't fighting the devil, because if I do, he'll tear me up. But if I fight the fight of faith, Jesus has already defeated the devil, and Satan has no power over me, because Jesus crushed his head and made me free. The elders said, no, don't hearken to him. And don't consent. Don't you make a league with him. Don't you dare tell him, come and just take what you want. You put your foot down. You stand on the word of God. It might not look good right now, but you watch what God will do. Huh. It said, he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that you did send for to your servant at the first. He said, I'll do. I told you. And he's still saying, I'm going to give you what I told you I'd give you at first. He should have sent him back and said, I've changed my mind. I ain't giving you anything. I'm not giving you anything. He said, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed, and they brought him word again. So the messengers went back to King Hadad, said, well, he said, He's not going to agree to that. He said he can't agree. He said he said he agreed that in the beginning, you know, he would give you some of the things you asked for. But he said now, he said, no, he's not giving you anything any further. So now old Mr. Ben-Hadad, Mr. Big Shot, who thinks he's all powerful and knows it all and can control everybody. It's just like the devil, ain't it? He said, Ben-Hadad said unto him, to Ahab, he said, the gods do so unto me and more also if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for the handfuls of people who follow me. In other words, I've got enough soldiers and enough military power and experience with people that there's not enough dust on the ground to hold all of them, and we will tear you up. We will consume you. We will wipe you out, threatening them. But something happened in Ahab. I think God started touching Ahab. And Ahab, the king of Israel, he answered and said, you tell him, let not him who girds on his harness boast himself as he who puts it off. And that was an insult, pretty much. Let not him who puts on his harness boast as one who puts it off. In other words, you ain't what you think you are. And I don't know that where he's, you know, God had to be moving to touch this man, to put on his heart, to say certain things, because this is what it took to show these kings that they're not going to just come in and take what they want. But they thought that they could because they were powerful men. They had powerful armies. They had defeated other nations. They had taken other people's stuff. But you see, when you start messing with God's people, when you start messing with Israel, when you start messing with Jerusalem and Judea, when you start messing with God's land, the Lord ain't gonna just let the devil come in and do whatever he wants to do. He can mock, he can laugh, he can protest, he can make fools out of people, but you watch what God will do. And when Ben-Hadad heard this message, they sent word back to him and said, he's not going to let you have that. It said he was, Ben-Hadad heard this message, he was drinking. He, as he was drinking, here we go. Let's get to the drinking part. See, because drinking makes you stupid. Drinking makes you cocky. Drinking makes you arrogant. Y'all see my hand in there? Drinking makes you crazy. Drinking makes you stupid. Drinking makes you cocky. Drinking makes you arrogant. Y'all see I'm the only one with my hand in the air? I ain't the only one that knows that, am I? And the Bible says it's not for kings to drink strong drink. It's not for kings to be drinking. Why? Because it perverts their judgment. But see, in this case, God is going to use it. Let the fool drink. Let him think that he can just do whatever he's going to do. As he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilion, that he said unto his servants, he said, you set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. Let's go out and get ready to wipe them out. And he said, behold, there came a prophet. Oh, I like it. Here, the devil says, I'm going to take it. I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to wipe out God's people. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes a prophet of God. Somebody who's close to the Lord. We need somebody today who's close to the Lord. We need preachers today who are close to the Lord. We need preachers who can see what the devil is doing in our nation. We need preachers who can discern the times, see the difference between the good and the evil, who's on the right side and who's on the wrong side. Because you ain't in between. You're on one side or the other. It's either good or evil. Which one are you? You ain't in between. You're one or the other. If you're going to stand for the word of God, you're going to have to stay on the good side. And no matter what the devil's report is, no matter what the doctor's report is, no matter what the job report is, you're going to have to stand your ground and believe the word of the Lord, even while Satan is threatening to take everything you have. A prophet shows up, and he spoke to Ahab, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude, Ahab? Have you seen the number of people and the armies that are coming against you? Have you seen them? Israel, have you seen the attacks from the Palestinians? Have you seen the attacks, the threats from other nations? Have you seen what the devil is trying to do?" And let me make another point right here real quick. You know, I heard the other day, I think it was Josh Rosenstern said that, you know, that Hamas or the groups that are trying to make some kind of treaty with Israel for like 5 years or something like that, that they'll stop this or stop that. And I'm saying, don't you make no peace with nobody. You tell them, no, we ain't making no peace. We ain't signing no treaty. This is God's land and you ain't taking it. God gave us this land and you ain't having it, devil. We ain't making no treaty. We ain't giving up anything. As a matter of fact, you ain't taking over nothing. You gonna get out yourself. Come on, somebody. You ain't taking over anything. This is God's land. I will bless those that bless you and I will curse those that curse you. Think about this story and think about Israel right now. Do we still serve the same God? Jehovah Jireh, our provider? Yes, we do. He said, "Have you seen this great multitude?" He said, "I will deliver it into your hand this day." I will. God said, "I will. I will deliver your enemies into your hands." Hey, David, I will deliver Goliath into your hand. He ain't gonna take your head off. You're gonna take his head off. I will deliver it. You see how big this mountain is? You see how big your problems are? You see the situation going on in your family and the things around the world? God said, "I will deliver it into your hand. I will give you victory over it. It will not reign over you." Come on, somebody. And he said, "And you shall know that I am the Lord." Well, he should already know. Ahab, he should already know prior to what he's already saw God do through Elijah. But he said, "I will deliver it into your hand and you will know that I am the Lord." Every victory that God gives you in your life, victory over sin, victory over cigarettes, victory over alcohol, victory over jealousy, victory over envy, victory over lust, victory whatever. When it's all finished and you get it, you ought to be saying, "Let me tell you about the power of God. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you how powerful the blood is. Let me tell you, I want to give glory to my God. I want people to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he can deliver. Because if he can do it for me, he can do it for you." Come on, somebody. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. My wife said the other day, "You know, I got people in my family. I got brothers and sisters acting like idiots, destroying themselves on their way to hell. And they got an example sitting right in front of them for 25 years. And this one right here has got his right mind. He don't have to scrounge around and run here and run there and live off the street and scrape this and scrape that. But he's got joy. He's got peace. He's got his right mind. He's got salvation and freedom from the power of the devil and from alcohol." And you would think that they would see that and say, "That's what I want." But they don't. They just want some freedom from those symptoms. Some of them, they just want to stay in the pig's pen. As that word came, Lisa gave the pig's system, but the pig's pen. Too many of God's people living in a pig's pen. When Jesus died to put them in a spiritual palace and give them freedom and give them victory over the sin nature, give them victory over their enemies. And you would think that people could see. No, I didn't say I'm perfect, but they know good and well there's a change. They know this ain't the same brother. This ain't the same man, but how is it that people can see that in front of them, but yet they themselves? You see, a miracle itself is not enough to convince somebody to get their heart right with God. Just miracles ain't going to do it. You have to believe for this. It's so simple, but so far away from so many people. And God said, I want the glory. God said, I'm going to give y'all victory. And when I do, everybody's going to know that I am the Lord. I got a feeling that God's going to do something in America. And when he's done, the church is going to come back together. Come on. People going to get back in. I don't know what they're waiting on. They ought to be here right now. I don't know what they're waiting on, but I got a feeling God's going to do something that's going to bring God's people back together so that he can get some glory for what he wants to do in this earth. He wants glory. He wants to give us victory today. He wants you to have victory. He wants the nation of Israel to have victory. Their problem is rejecting Jesus. And even in that condition of rejecting Jesus Christ as the Messiah, look how that God still loves them and still is watching over them. And says, I got my eye on your enemies. I'll give you power. I'll give you the military power. I'll give you some bombs. I'll give you what you need to defeat enemies. Because this is my land. I gave it to you. And you don't give it to anybody. I got a plan for it. And the Bible says, Ahab, he says, by who are you going to deliver us? Who are you? How in the world this great army of people, and we're just a small people. You know what? There was only 7,232 fighting people in Israel. There was only 232 young men. And 7,000 adults. And Ahab says, how are we going to defeat them? Ain't that us? God says, I've done this for you. I've given this to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this. And here we go. How are you going to do this? There's no way. We don't know how to figure this out. How are we going to do it? God didn't call you to figure anything out. It don't matter how small you are, how big you are, how small your church is, how big your church is. If God said he's going to do something, God's going to do something. Come on, somebody. It don't matter if there's 1,000 people giving $1,000 a month for the building fund or not. God's got a people. God's got a remnant. God don't need the many. God just needs a few people here and there so he can show that he has the power to use that which is small in the eyes of men. He said, by who are you going to deliver us? He answered and said, you. By you. You, Ahab. You mean Ahab? You mean a idol-worshiping idiot who lets his wife control people and turn people away from God? God said he's going to use him? Yes. That means there might be hope for Washington. Maybe. Because God is God. And he can do whatever needs to be done with just a few. I know what happens in the political scene. People watch too much of the news, and they're watching the wrong news. And they're listening to the wrong thinking. They're listening to the Democratic side and the liberal side and all this bunch of evil garbage. And they've listened to it so much, they don't have any faith. They can't see God. They can't see how God can do anything with the attacks that Donald Trump is facing. They can't see God doing anything. I got news for you. You better hold on to your bootstraps. You better hold on, because God is still in control. And God, again, he can do whatever he needs to do. He said, I'm going to deliver them by you, Ahab. And then he says, but we only got 7,232 people. And God said, I'm going to use them. So it said he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them, he numbered all the people of the children of Israel, being 7,000. That's where your 7,232 comes from. That's not Common Core math. It's math. And they went out at noon. Look at this. And Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions. Drinking himself drunk in the pavilions. He and the kings. You know what the... Ahab is toast. Hey, boys, let's celebrate early. Come on. The party's on me. We're about to get us some more stuff. We're going to get some silver. We're going to get some gold. We're going to take everything they have. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to show them who we are, how powerful we are, and what we can do. Let's have a party. That's what the devil thought when Jesus died. Let's have a party. He's gone. But he forgot about the third day. He forgot about the one who said, you destroy this temple, but in 3 days, it'll be raised up by God. It'll come back. Come on, somebody. He forgot about the power. They forgot about the power of God. And he said he was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings and the 32 kings who helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men who have come out of Samaria. In other words, Ahab had already sent some of these young men out to fight them. They didn't wait. He sent them out to fight. We need some soldiers in the church that'll go out and fight. Fight for souls. Fight for the kingdom of God. Fight for people to know Jesus. Fight for the things of God. And quit stepping back, standing back, sitting down. Get on the front line and say, I'm going to fight for my Lord. I'm going against the enemies, not in my own power, not in my own strength, in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to step out. God said, this is our land, and we're not letting anybody take it, so we're going to step. We ain't going to just let somebody come up in here and roll us over and take everything we have. You ain't going to get it without a fight. And the Bible said that they went out, and they sent word back to the king that these men had come out, and so he told his servants, he said, well, listen, he said, whether they come out to fight or whether they just come out to try to make peace, he said, don't kill them, just take them alive. We'll just make them our slaves. Just take them. Bunch of fools. Don't they know who I am? They're no better to even try to come against us. Don't they know how powerful that I am? Don't you know how powerful Jesus is? Don't you know the power of your God? Don't you know the power of the Holy Spirit fighting inside of you to keep your victory, to keep what Jesus died to give you? He said, you just take them and we'll just make slaves out of them. But you see, Mr. Drunk Man was about to get his eyes opened up. We got some spiritual drunks in this nation, in Washington. They're drunk with hatred. They're drunk with animosity against God. Hello. They're intoxicated, but you just hold on, because God is going to do something in these last days. God is going to do something. The Bible said they went out, the young men of the princes and the providences, they came out of the city and the army which followed them, and look, they began to go after the enemies. And look, they did not do this on their own. They did this in faith. We don't fight again. We don't fight against the devil. We don't fight against sin. We fight by the power of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. They stepped out, and as they did, God began to give them the strength. Oh, come on. If Israel today will do the same thing, if the prime minister will take the lead, let God use him. God will give them the strength. Their enemies will not overcome them. I don't care how many people chant in the streets, protest on the college grounds. I don't care how many devils show up. I don't care how many demons show up. When God begins to have his way, nobody can stop God. I know what we're thinking. Well, where is he? Where is he? Where is your God? Well, where is he? Don't you see what's going on? Well, where is he, climber? He's where he's always been. Sitting on his throne. Communicating with his saints through the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you where he is. He's right here. He's fighting inside of this old boy. Hello, he fights for me. I don't have to fight the devil. I don't have to fight against enemies. Jesus has already fought for me. And because he has, he gives us the strength to go fight for him, to take that which belongs to us, your peace, your joy, your family, your finances, everything. It's yours. You need to get a hold of it, and you need to keep it, and don't let the devil have it. Amen. We fight by faith. They went out and said they killed every one his man. They began to wipe them out. A small army against a big army. Now we all know in the natural, that's just no way possible in it. But we're not talking about the natural. We are talking about the supernatural. You can be the most shy saint. Withdrawn, don't really care to talk with people, be in a crowd or whatever. Let me tell you something. You get a hold of the power of the Holy Ghost. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit and let the power of God begin to turn your life around in a way like you have never seen. Brother, you'll jump up on your, the one that used to be shy, he said, praise the Lord. Come on. The one that you couldn't never hear anything out of, they'll be saying, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I got something greater than I had before. I got something better than I had 6 months ago. And I just want to say, praise the Lord for it. Amen. It's another thing the devil's kept from the church. The baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. The Christians have said, you can have it. The devil says, you don't need that. You don't want that. I'm taking that. You don't get that. You can't have that today. That was just for them back then. But he's a liar. He's a liar. It is for you, and it is for now. And you can have it. Take it. Take it. Go out against the devil and say, I read the book of Acts, and it tells me that in the last days, God said he's going to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. He said your sons and your daughters, your children and your children's children, your handmaidens, come on, the little woman sweeping the house out, come on, said I'll fill her with the Holy Ghost too. Come on, somebody. I'll fill your children. I'll fill everybody in your family. Do you want it? Well, if you want it, get ready, because I'm going to pour it out on you. Get up in faith and say, thank you, Jesus. Just go on and say, Lord, I've read it in the book. I see it there. I know it's real. It's mine. Give it to me. It's mine. Give it to me. Give it all back to me, devil. They went out and they killed him, and they said they pursued the enemies. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be putting the devil on the run. I said, we ought to be putting the devil on the run instead of us running from him. That song, the devil's in the phone booth dialing 911. Church is on its knees loading up his spiritual guns. Devil thought he had us, but the tables are turned. He's in the phone booth dialing 911. I need some demons. I need some devils. I need some help. I need somebody to attack Family Worship Center. I can't shut them up. I can't stop them from speaking in other tongues. I can't stop them from going to church. There's a fire over there. Somebody put it out. He's tried to put this one out for 25 years, and he's still not succeeded. Oh, he puts a damper on us from time to time, don't he? Every one of us. But you don't have to let him take what Jesus gave you. You don't have to let him have it. Demons, they make them run. And we have spiritual authority. We have power over demon spirits. Jesus said it. He said, I give you power to trample on serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. Somebody tries to poison you. Somebody tries to kill you, and you don't even know what's going on. I'll protect you because you're mine, and I'm going to use you. Now, if you're one of them old deadbeat things that sit on a pew from week to week that God don't use, and you won't let God use, you may just die off. If you're one of them ones that don't believe in this Holy Ghost power, you may just die off early. But not for those that God said I'm going to use. Not for those ones that says that we're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not for the ones that says, he said, I've given you power to trample upon demon spirits, power over scorpions. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover in my name. You shall cast out devils. He said in my name, not Muhammad's name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Put them on the run. They begin to flee. And guess what the Bible said? The king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. The air comes on after I'm sweating. He smote them with a great slaughter. Are you smiting the devil? Are you victorious over sin? Or have you allowed Satan to take from you what God gave to you through his Son, Jesus Christ? We don't need to be running from the enemy. We don't need to be staying home hid up in some corner. We need to come to church. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be afraid because we're men and women of God. And we don't have anything to be afraid of because if God be for us, who can overcome us? Nobody. Amen. I'd like to tell every one of my enemies, you're wasting your time. Because it ain't me you're fighting, it's Jesus. It's Jesus in here. You get mad sometimes, you leave church, I don't like what he said. Take it up with the Lord. If you'll let God have his way, you won't even leave like that. You'll stop leaving like that. You'll say, oh Lord, help me. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this place, if you were up here preaching and you were put in this position, I promise you, you couldn't do any better. You might think you could, but this ain't what you think it is. Preaching the gospel is not easy. Saying things at times that you know God puts on your heart to say, and you know some people are going to get mad. You already know it. You can feel it. But you can't back up from it because you're fearful or you're worried about what people will say. That's not the kind of preachers God is looking for. He's looking for somebody with some boldness. Now, I don't mean be arrogant and we just say whatever or, you know, just be vulgar and stuff like that. No, we don't do that. But we are to be free to say whatever the Holy Ghost puts in our heart to say, to call evil for what it is and call good for what it is. And we don't have to be afraid. I'm glad I'm in a church where I don't have to be afraid of what I preach. I don't have to be afraid of somebody standing up and pulling a gun out and shooting me. Because if they did, bye-bye, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad. But if you miss, you in bad trouble. Stand to your feet. Come on, Miss Grace. Listen. Do you have the victory today? Amen. That's what I want to say. Do you have the victory? Don't you let the devil take what Jesus gave you. Don't you let that liar intimidate you. Don't you let him make you think and try to get you scared to death about your children, about your family, this. You take the word of God. You use your faith and you stand on God's word. And you tell the devil, no, it's mine. And I'm going to keep it. Amen. If you would, if you have a need this morning, as Miss Grace begins to play, if you need something, maybe you need to stretch your faith out this morning. Maybe you're a little bit weak this morning. You need your faith touched. You need to be strengthened today. If that's you, come while she's playing. We're going to give an altar call for whatever you need. If you need something, come. If you need to put the devil in his place, put him in his place. If there's people you need to come pray for, you come pray for them. If there's something you need God to do, you ask, come and ask God to do it today. It's mine. Give it to me, Lord. It's mine. Give it to me. There's victory in Jesus. Praise God. Come on, just begin to worship him. Those of you that are in the audience out here, listen, slip your hands up if you can. Begin to praise the Lord. Just say, Lord, I thank you for my victory. I thank you for my freedom. I thank you for the peace. I thank you for my joy. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, just begin to worship him, church. Begin to praise him. You through the internet, the camera, let God touch you where you are. This victory is yours too. Step out in faith and take it in the name of Jesus. Praise God. There's victory in Jesus. Beneath the cleansing flood, I heard an old story. Old story of how a Savior came from glory and how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. You know a church singing, oh victory in Jesus my Savior. Got it, church, it's ours. He sought me, he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God. Woo. Come on, somebody. He loved me, and I knew him, and all my love is due him, and he plunged me to victory. Singing, you sing a lot better than I can. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew
praise Him. Give me a verse.
I heard about His healing.
He can heal.
His cleansing power revealing how He made the lame.
He can make the lame to walk. Open those blinded eyes. Come on, sing it.
And then I cried,
yeah.
Dear Jesus,
come on. Come and heal me, Lord.
Come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Come on, church, you got it today.
Oh,
victory.
With the victory today. Amen. Come on, I say go out with the victory today. Come back tonight at 5:30 and we'll be here having church.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.